Mr. Clark, how are you, sir? What's going on?
Just flowing. And what's my uncle used to say? Bobbing and weaving.
Bobbing and weaving. I hear you. Dancing between raindrops is one of my buddies used to say.
That's true.
Good gracious. I'm coming to us today from the plush, well-lit studios of Skunk Fire International, a.k.a. my barn. Just thought I'd try out a remote setup today for you guys out there. So if anybody tell me if you can hear any difference or see really any big difference, let us know. I'm just curious to see how this works out.
Yeah, that it's just nice to change scenery a little bit every once in a while.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it, though? Oh, man. Speaking of change of scenery, you've been traveling much? You've been back and forth to
as I describe to my people, there's a circuit I'm on. You know, that like everybody back in the day when you were a musical band, you did a circuit, you went through certain towns. I go through certain towns. So, you know, I got most of them start with A and or start with O. And then I'm back in the city of CL, EMSON. There you go.
TIGERS.
R-I-S. Yeah.
But I feel you on the circuit. My circuit is actually more of an out and back. I go up 85 to different points, and then I turn around and come back down 85 by stopping along at different places along the way.
Of course. Yeah. Yep. You got to visit the loved ones.
Of course. Of course. Sure enough, man. Well, so speaking of all that kind of stuff, I've had an interesting week or two here in the real estate market. I'm learning all kinds of things about buying real estate. It's interesting. So just for all the viewers out there and all the listeners out there, I've got something going on. We try not to give away too much of it, but basically my dad is at a point in his life where he would like to live a little closer to one of his sons. The place that my brother lives is a place that my dad used to live. He knows a lot of people in that area, and he's really interested in moving up there. And, you know, we're trying to work out a lot of things now where, you know, the place he lives now, he owns and he has for a long, long time. And it's an old house and it's sitting on several acres of land. So he's interested in selling this, but he's also interested in finding another place ahead of time so that he can move in there and then we can figure out how to fix his place up and sell it in a way that would make sense. And all of that is becoming an interesting challenge. One, let's start out about finances. So finances are interesting. So if you don't have a lot of cash on hand, you know, obviously you're going to have to secure a loan or something to get the new place. And then once the new place is set, then you can turn around, sell the old place and pay off the loan to stay above board and all that kind of stuff. So been doing a little bit of that stuff to learning all about pre-approvals for mortgages and things like that.
What joy that must bring you.
Oh, it's so much joy. So much paperwork. Luckily, these days, though, most of the places take electronic copies of things and are more than happy to have you email them a PDF with all the instructions and all the stuff. And so it's been grateful that we're in the modern age and tax accountants will send you a PDF of all your tax returns in a moment's notice.
Of course they will.
That you can take those PDFs and the forms that you get from the loan places and you can edit them on your devices handily, not even have to print them out. And in the case of a Macintosh or in any of the other iOS devices in the Apple's menagerie, I guess you could say, it's really easy to edit a PDF and it's really easy to sign a PDF in those ways. So I've been learning all kinds of stuff about that and making use of it, and it's been great. The trouble we're at this point in time is finding the right place. So I don't know about you, but I remember this in any kind of development situation. You got this triangle of speed and quality and price, right? You get to pick two of those things.
Yep.
You can't have all three. You can't have all three. And what I'm running into and what my father does not understand yet, which I'm trying to kind of gently bring him over around to this, is that in real estate, it appears to be there's three things are location, price, and amenities about the stuff. So, you know, location is pretty self-explanatory. Price is pretty self-explanatory. Amenities might be things like how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, what kind of countertops has it got, you know, where, how much acreage it's sitting on, you know, those kinds of things. And what I'm running into is my dad does not understand that you can have two of those.
No,
you can't have all three.
Of course not.
In the budget
he's
that he wants
he's
to
lived
do.
A long life and he wants all three.
He wants all three. And that's like finding a unicorn. And we ran into a unicorn, honestly, about 2 weeks ago. It was the perfect house. It was sitting on the perfect, in the perfect spot, had all the right stuff, great amount of acreage that he wanted, had all the little outbuildings and all the cool kind of farmery things that he wanted to do. It was, the price was incredible. We met with the real estate agent, got down and said, all right, we're ready here. I'll give you asking price for this thing. Put in asking price. They came back and said, you know, what has happened is that we have like 11 offers already and we were just about to close them out, but we thought we'd take yours just in case. And basically it got into some kind of crazy bidding war that there's no way that we could have done. And what I found out later was what the real estate agent in that particular case was trying to do really was to put it in at a very low price to get a bunch of people interested in that, to do that. And
Bait
what
and
we
switch.
What we believe has happened is a developer actually bought it. It was a 4-acre lot with a nice house that was sitting right in the front center of that property. And I think now it's getting broken up into multiple 1-acre lots that are all going to get houses on them. So, yeah, oh, we were so disappointed. I was, my dad was, everybody was. But hey, it's life. We're learning as we go. And
it's life in the housing market, which is crazy now.
Yeah, it is nuts. But we're looking at a couple more now that might work. We'll see how it goes. We're just in that check it out and see face. The other challenge to it is distance. So I know you know about the challenges of distance, but my dad lives about an hour away. This place is about an hour and a half away where he wants to be. And trying to coordinate my father, who doesn't do a whole lot of texting, he does a little bit, a real estate agent who we have talked to about selling his place now, we get up with him to kind of say, hey, could you show us new places? And, you know, that would give you part of the percentage that real estate agents get. You know, usually it's the seller gets a certain percentage and the representing buyer person gets a little bit of percentage as well. So trying to coordinate my dad, who lives an hour away, my brother, who lives an hour and a half away, a real estate agent who lives between those two and me, all of our schedules, all of the calendars that have to happen here and all the fates that have to align just to go look at a place. And that's been a challenge. That has been a big challenge. I'm sorely afraid that we're going to miss one of the perfect unicorn houses because of the challenge of getting everybody get together.
Into it.
It's a lot. That was
so
one of the...
I got two questions for you.
Yeah,
just
go
to tie it back in a little bit to Ted. So the house that you found before, how'd you find it? Did you find it electronically? Did you find it on one of the...
Electronically. And I've been using Zillow.com. It is very handy for that sort of thing. And after the first one that we found that we like kind of fell through, I started digging in a little bit more to Zillow. And one of the handiest things it can do for you is you could go in and set up filters for the kind of house at the price want in the location that you want. And then set up those, say, and save that search. And then it'll send you a email. It'll send you a push notification whenever anything either comes up in that set of houses or if anything changes. So I've been getting notifications every day of properties that are dropping in price, some are new ones popping on, or occasionally when one goes off. And it's been a good learning experience, though. They've done a good job with that app. I don't understand how people pulled it off before, really, without a whole lot more logistical complication.
Now, I know one of the things I do for rentals would be our vacation by rental owner, a VRBO. Yeah.
VRBO, yeah.
Vacation, they let you set up a board that you can set up a board of things you want to see, you're looking at that you can invite other people to look at. Can you do that?
Yeah. You know, I haven't tried that, but I probably can. I think I did see something about sharing a saved search. So that would be kind of cool.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. And I know how difficult that can be. We haven't sold any property yet, but I've had an experience with a loved one who was trying to sell her house and how frustrating it was to get into a bidding war almost every single time and be outbid. So, yeah, I wish you luck on that, my brother.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. The last thing I have to say about that is Zillow is awesome. I love their website. Their app is a little bit clunky for me to the point that I don't even try forwarding it to my dad because there's no way.
Yeah.
there's enough oddness in the interface that he would have a tough time with it. So lately I have been doing screenshots of all the photos of something that looks interesting and texting those screenshots and telling him where it's at, and then we work it out from there.
And there are apps that let you share that kind of stuff with people. Maybe too confusing for your dad at the moment, but there are apps out there. Some of them are free, that like Jam and a few other things. I think Apple has one too. Can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Freeform, yes. Yeah.
So you can use it. You do those kind of things to share things if you can set it up, even if you can preset some of that stuff to set up. So something to consider.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And, you know, it just hit me that what I probably ought to do on the next one that I find is just do a screen recording on my phone and do a voiceover over it while I'm flipping through all the photos of the house and tell him about all what's going on, where it is, make a short video, 1 minute, send it to him. He knows how to play a video with sound on his phone.
Yeah, you can do that simply. Yeah, you really can.
Yeah, man. Welcome to Riffing About Technology and Figuring Stuff Out Real Time here at Caretaker Tips. We're developing as we speak, right?
Speaking of which, my loved one is going through a series of falls lately in the last few weeks.
Really? Wow.
And so I asked some questions of my favorite AI agent, but also some other people too, and said, you know, what do you do about that kind of, how do you prevent or how do you detect falls? And I was surprised to learn there's a lot of options, Barry, for what you can do in a house. And, you know, the traditional way of doing that is with a wearable, right? We'll put someone like a watch on. If you fall down, it need calls. And, you know, and actually Apple Watch, I think we're going to talk about a little bit later, actually came out with a new version of their watch that has some really cool features in it. And so you always can do that kind of thing. But what if your loved one doesn't wear a watch? Well, guess what? You have other options. There are AI cameras you can buy for your home. There are lots of detectors that use different kinds of elements to do that. So I thought I'd just riff a little bit on some of those things that are out there. Like they're in-home passive sensors and monitoring systems like cameras that you can put up. So if you can watch and see if something happens, you can also couple some of those cameras with AI so they can watch on your behalf.
Oh, snap. It can be watching the video for you.
Yeah, and if it sees something that goes fall, it alerts you.
Call Bobby.
So, yeah. And you got some smart home integration for speakers. And so if they do get down, they can say things like, I need help, and it will alert them. Of course, there's a tried and true way of getting professional monitoring services. So you can pay somebody to look at that film to see if somebody did that. And then there's a preventative tech that's out there that talks about monitoring your gait. So if your gait gets worse over time, you get an alert about your loved one that says, hey, they're getting a little bit more wobbly than they used to. And I was surprised to see that there are products out there to do. Now, I'm not ready to tell you which product it is, but we have a list of those products. We want to drop them into the show notes and take a look at them. Some of them are pretty cool, sound pretty neat. The fall detection camera is kind of really neat. So I'm kind of curious to see whether I could put that in a room that maybe I'm not watching that might cover her, like in the bathroom or in the bedroom, to see if there's issues. It's kind of interesting to talk about. So, yeah.
It's come a long way since the old life alert that they wear all the time. And
you still got those things, and you still got professional services on the list. But, you know, there's other things too now. So
sure.
Very cool.
That is very cool. I think I read, we might have talked about this earlier, about Apple Help has gait detection in it and with the phone and the watch. And it can pay attention, and you can have it send a loved one information about that sort of thing. So it's kind of neat.
It's kind of neat. Yeah. Recorded in a health app, and maybe that's something that they can talk about with their doctor too.
Yeah, so, for sure.
So yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff here that's out there right now. So I hope people look at it. I mean, and there's six or seven products that pulled up in this list, some of which from Samsung and from reputable companies. So take a look at them. See if they might help your situation out.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at them. Maybe I'll come back later and tell you what I thought.
Maybe that'd be a good thing, and you can kind of tell us what you picked and what's working for you. And, you know, just kind of a follow-up episode. It turns out, here's how
the show notes has some backup articles. So if you want to go to The Verge or some of the other order and look for yourself, you're more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll put the chart in there.
That's nice. Man, I heard, you guys out there know we're Apple people, and this past week we had some new products pop up from Apple, and it's, I think, the new iOS and macOS and iPadOS 26 is pretty imminent.
Yeah, yep. I think some of them have come out. Probably by the time we listen to this, you probably will see a lot of it come out.
Probably be out there. And I just read that the Apple Watch actually has monitoring for hypertension. And you'd read some about that. And what do you think about that?
So the Holy Grail is that something that would tell you what your blood pressure is. This is not doing that, because the best way to do that for a blood pressure monitor, by the way, we play doctors on the podcast, but we ain't doctors.
We're not
so
doctors.
You know, you need to read up on this on your own. But the other thing I will say is the feature that they described on the recent release is that it will look at your blood vessels if you're wearing a watch over a period of 30 or 40 days. It compares that data to what they did in a huge study. It's like 100,000 people participated in, maybe more than that. And they can alert you that there's an issue you need to have a talk to your doctor about. So it's called hypertension detection, mm-hmm. not monitoring. And so it will tell you that you may have a problem. Go talk to your doctor. And by the way, here's some data. So you can share that with your doctor and they can look at it and they can make a determination.
That's pretty cool.
It sounds really cool. It would be the kind of thing that if your loved one seems to be doing okay, and you want to catch things early, this could be the kind of thing, a reason to buy a watch like this. You know, and now it always goes with, you know, will they wear it?
Yep.
You can buy it, but if they don't wear it, it don't help you. But if they would wear it, maybe you can detect, and there's some other things it detects too, like already it'll detect AFib and tell you that there's issues with that. It also detects your sleep level when you're not getting enough sleep. And some of these things are key indicators for a lot of different things, not just for memory kinds of conditions out there, but also for mental health kinds of conditions out there. So if you have a situation where you're concerned about your loved one, you want to make sure that they're in the right place, and maybe they just lost a spouse or something like that, this is maybe a way to do some additional monitoring. So,
yeah.
I firmly believe that Apple Watch is one of the best watches for that kind of thing. And I've heard that other watches, like some of the more recent Google and Pixel watches, do similar things too.
That's pretty cool. I've often wondered about whether or not I could get my dad to wear an Apple Watch. He rarely wears a watch at home, period. But when he's out, he'll wear a Timex or something like that. But I wonder if I could get him to wear it if I just set it so that there's no notifications that go to it. It doesn't ring. It just has a clock on it, but it's got help on it, and it's paying attention and it's gathering data, so that when it's time for him to go for his annual checkup, he's got some data for his doctors. Or if something's going on, we know about it ahead of time.
Well, there's a good set of reasons for that, and I'll just name off a couple that come off the top of my head. He's wearing one of these watches, you can track where he is. So Now, I'm not saying that to spy on him. I'm saying that if you have a loved one who has an issue with wandering, then wearing a watch like this can be something that it's a lifesaver. There is fall detection in these watches. It has been. And my mother has worn one where she fell and it actually called 911. So that's a witness to that kind of feature being a really cool thing out there. And then addition to that, you certainly want to turn off notifications. You don't want it buzzing their arm all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you're calling, you could have it go so it would notify them, hey, Barry's calling. And what I've seen is that the baby boomers dealing with this watch handle it better than most of the generation before it. Because it almost sounds crass, but it's true. They're used to that as a tech. You know, that was the tech of their time was the Dick Tracy call watch. They actually can do that. They actually like that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. I've seen this happen where 80-year-old will my father, and he can call on the phone, and other relatives will call on their watch, but they won't use their phone. They won't pick up they'll call on the watch. So, you know, what I say is try it. And you can find watches out there very cheap.
Oh, yeah, man. I'd probably go ahead and get him an SE or something. You know,
SEs start now, I think, at like $250.
Yeah.
Which is not nearly as bad as some of the other watches out there. And you can get used watches out there for probably in the neighborhood of $100 to $150. This is not a very expensive thing. And a lot of them have cellular capabilities already built in. So, you know, I'm probably pimping the Apple Watch because that's what I use. But I know that there are other watches out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
That have lots of good things, like Pebble and Casio and things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. I've noticed that Well, just me. I got in this habit back when I was working full time of having the ringer on my phone turned off all the time because I didn't want to get interrupted. You've been in a meeting and we've all been there. You're in a meeting and somebody's phone goes off and it's real loud and it's a weird ringtone and they have trouble figuring out how to turn it off quick enough to, you know, and everybody's just stopping. So I turned mine off years ago and I really enjoy getting call notifications on my watch. That's my primary way to know that somebody's actually calling me. And I don't know if my dad would be able to deal with that much or he'd like that at all, but I do think he would like the tracking part of it because he's a firm believer in Find My. He likes the fact that I could find him if I needed to. And I think he might even dig that too. Like we had another relative who had one of those medical, I think it's called Medical Guardian. It was a device that you put around your neck and you wear it at home. And it's got the thing where you press the button and be able to call emergency services. She doesn't need it anymore. She's moved to a facility where she has that already. So she gave it away and gave it to my dad. He won't wear it. It just sits over there in the charger all the time. So it's not doing any good at all. But I kind of wonder if the watch would do that for him. I don't think it's like even an age thing. It's just a lives alone kind of thing. It's nice to be able to have that lifeline if you need to. And man, you really kind of piqued my interest in that. Maybe I could talk him into that at some point. We'll see.
There we go. Riffing on ideas again. How about that?
For sure. Does your loved one wear one?
She has one and she was wearing it quite a lot and it stopped. So I'm trying to get her back in the habit of it. And that's the other thing. You got to be persistent and give good feedback to your loved one about, okay, thank you for wearing the watch because that helped. And, you know, and so a lot of the things we're doing right now, she had a injury on her hand that kept her from putting the watch on her hand. So that kind of got her out of the habit for a while. She was doing it all the time. They kind of liked it. And so one of these days I have a dream that maybe I can get her off of the land phone and actually use the watch as a way to receive calls because that way I can block a lot of spam. And by the way, we talked about spam detection on a lot of Apple phones and on Android phones. It has gotten considerably better since our last conversation. So look into those features. Maybe we'll drop something in there too about that or just remind people where that information was because you can do some pretty spectacular things now. I know the Apple Watch actually has and calls on iPhones actually have different ways of blocking calls for spam, better ways. So we may do another situation on that one when we get our hands on some of that stuff, but there's really better ways now to make sure that the only people that call your loved one are the people you want to call.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
I definitely would investigate that.
Yeah, that again, this is going to be an episode. We ought to just call this episode That Reminds Me.
Yes. 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 So by the way, you know, happy 1 year anniversary.
Man, yeah, it has been. It has been a year, hasn't it? That's great.
It has been a year. Actually, I checked on it and it's like within a couple of days. So you know, again, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to it 6 months later, you know. But still, yeah, we've got a year in the book right now. So
that is awesome.
Making our moves. So
you know, it makes sense. This is episode 24. There's 12 months and we do it twice a month. So that works out pretty well. Yeah. You know, when you were talking about calls and, you know, being able to get notifications from certain people and that kind of thing, it made me think about something that I think is a sleeper feature in the Apple universe is the focus capability.
Yes.
And it's something I've learned to use lately. And I don't think a lot of people really know about it. I think it's too quiet. But the gist of it is the focus situation lets you set up certain modes to use in certain situations to limit or block or kind of just let you focus on what you're trying to do. So I don't know about you, but some of my relatives and some of my loved ones have this uncanny ability to know when my hands are full or when I'm trying to concentrate on something.
It's a superpower.
Barry is working on something right now. He has his hands full. His hands are covered in grease because he's mechanicking or something. I should call him now. That's exactly the way it feels sometimes, but I know it's not, and I'm just playing y'all. But the what focus modes do for you is let you set a mode on your phone so that you can say, listen, I'm trying to work. I don't want to be bothered right now. I only want three people to be able to talk to me, either via text or phone. And these are the specific people that I want to be able to let through. Or you can say, I don't want anybody to talk to me at all right now. I will get back to them later and you won't be bothered till you have it either automatically come back to normal after a certain amount of time, or you tell it to come back to normal.
So let me explain to a few people, because I think there's two sets of people.
Okay.
One person heard that and goes, so how do I set it up? And so we could probably talk to it. But there's another set of people says, I don't want to set nothing up. Well,
that's
guess
right.
What? This feature is still for you, because there's already two basic things in there, which is, hey, normal and do not disturb. And if you just use do not disturb when you don't want anybody to talk to you, you'll get some benefit out of this. And it automatically knows to do that in an hour or to check your calendar and make sure you're free. So there's a lot of neat things like that that you can do. And I think it's even set up to know the difference between work and non-work. So you don't have to set up a lot of this to get a bunch of benefit out of it. And if you want, and you want to set it up, you can do a lot of cool things.
Oh, you really can. You really can. And you can set it up based on time. You can set it up based on physical location. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things like that. You can have it where when you set a certain mode, it will change the wallpaper on not only on your phone, but on your watch if you have one of those on too. So it kind of gives you a visual reminder that you're in that other mode. And one thing I know a lot of people will say, but what if, you know, I've got this one, this one relative or this one loved one needs to be able to get through at all times. You can set that up. You can say, you can set this, do not disturb up in a way that says, I don't want to talk to anybody, but this person calls, go ahead and let them through. So that it's really a sleeper feature for iOS and actually for the whole Apple ecosystem, honestly.
Yeah, and if you're in the Apple ecosystem, you can set it up on your Mac, on your phone, on your iPad, and on your watch.
Yep.
And once you do it on one, it sets it for all. So that's kind of cool.
It is so handy. It very much is handy. So we might have to do a little deep dive on that at some point in time.
Yeah.
Y'all let us know. You want to hear more about it? I know one particular person, one friend of the show, who's going to call me and say, hey, I set that up. So I'm hoping that they will. And if they do, we'll do something better with that.
Yeah.
So, well, man, I think we've covered kind of a wide gamut today, haven't we?
We sure have. And, you know, I just want to say, if you like what we just did, then go ahead, subscribe and like it and write a review for us and say that we're doing a good job. If you don't like it, you can tell us too, but don't do a lot of them. So
that's right.
Let us know that this works and tell people about us, because we're going to keep growing the community. So why not?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, hit that little notification bell
please,
so you'll know that when we pop a new episode. And if you get a chance on YouTube, listen to the end. It really helps us with the algorithm and it helps us with placement. So any of that we can do, we appreciate it. And we hope you have a great next week or two. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. All right, y'all. Take care.
On to second year.
On to the second year.